Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the Press Porch at Tanglewood. I'm Joe Donahue. This press porch is located in a grove of trees, a short walk from the famed shed where the world's greatest musicians are tuning up as we speak.
I'm Alan Chartok. We're overlooking the Stockbridge Bowl, and it's difficult to believe that we could broadcast from a more beautiful, important, or historic musical setting, and that Joe would let me sit next to maniacs.
It's pretty cool. We are thrilled because we begin with true star power this morning. Tanglewood mainstay Emmanuel X. Can we call you Manny?
Please.
Okay. Manny X, who made his Boston Symphony Orchestra debut at Tanglewood in August of 1978, joins us to talk about his BSO performance in the Shed tomorrow night. It is the opener, and the orchestra will finally be in front of real people. Andres Nelsons will conduct an all Beethoven program. What a great honor and pleasure to have you as our leadoff guest this morning. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So you're really a Berkshire guy. I mean, that's the thing that is always so impressive. I see in the grocery store and all like that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, you know, somebody that famous can be among us.
You know, you're very kind to say all that, but in fact, we've become very much Berkshire residents. And I will say one of the things that is amazing about being here this morning is that I usually listen to the Round Table, and we're at a square table.
Yes, yeah.
Just thought I would point that out for the listeners.
Just so you know, even when we're back at the studio, it's still not a round table.
Okay, but that's fine.
It's theater of the mind.
It's sort of amoeba-like.
Yes. It's rounded, but not really round. Do you, Alan, do you look and see what Manny has on his cart, or don't you, when you're at Guido's?
I do.
Check out the items.
It's all extremely healthy.
Well, that depends if my wife is with me shopping or I'm on my own. So
now let us just talk about the last year, because I mean, tomorrow is going to be a monumental occasion because the orchestra will be back in front of people. You have performed a couple of times, obviously virtually, but you and Yo-Yo Ma have done concerts for frontline workers. You've been out front doing that. Just beautiful, beautiful work performing for them and throughout this pandemic. But what has it been like for you as an artist to deal with just being put on pause?
Well, it's been, on the one hand, the little silver lining was that I'm now 72 years old. For me, it was kind of nice not to get nervous for a concert every 3 days.
So nice.
That was a relief, because I've been doing that for so many years. And I'm afraid that it's going to start up again in that sense. But when we were here most of the year in the Berkshires during the pandemic, it was so depressing to see the grounds of Tanglewood closed, to see so many places in town closed, to see the Berkshires kind of deserted in terms of just people on the street. Mm. And now it's, I love the fact that there's traffic in Great Barrington. It's wonderful to see.
Well.
Yay, traffic.
Anyway, so Yo-Yo and I tried to do a few things. We did these. We found Stefan, the piano mover for Tanglewood, found this big truck.
Piano mover.
Well, he does all the. Yeah. He actually does all. He's a wonderful, remarkable guy. He found a big flatbed truck, and some volunteers built a kind of wooden arch over it. And Yo-Yo and I found a little electric piano, and he had his fiberglass cello. And we played on the back of the truck in various parking lots.
Oh, that's great.
This was back in October, I guess.
Yeah, September and October.
Yeah.
So what is it between you and Yo-Yo? I mean, the two of you guys are together all the time. You say one, you're going to say the other also. What started that? I mean, how did that work?
We met way back in school. He's a little bit younger than me, but he was an incredibly precocious, brilliant cello star, in fact, and he was a student of Leonard Rose. I was Leonard Rose's studio pianist, which meant I accompanied for his lessons. And that's, we met at the Juilliard cafeteria.
You have already identified as being 72, so roughly what year would this have been?
This would have been 1968, 9, okay. Something like that. Yeah. So it's been 50 years.
What did you eat in the cafeteria that day?
Same stuff he has at Guido's.
Probably the same thing I ate every day, a tuna sandwich. But
so now that we're back and there's going to be a concert with real people and you'll be performing the opener tomorrow night with Andres, you'll be doing Beethoven. I can certainly understand nerves, but you also just have to be delighted.
Oh, I think we're all thrilled. Of course, we're thrilled by just being able to play, as you say, for a live audience. And there's nothing like playing for a live audience. You can do all the Zoom in the world and all the recording in the world, but I feel at least that there's such a connection, unspoken connection, between the audience in the building and you. And you can't really describe it, but it's definitely there. Mm. And so I think everyone in the orchestra, everyone on stage, everyone in the entire Tanglewood community is ecstatic.
I bet.
So how does it work? I mean, you're playing the piano. Andres is conducting. We all sit in the audience and we look and we want to see what form of communication is going on between you and him.
Well, as I say, it's mostly unspoken. It's either body or mind language, whichever you call it. But it's very much like any other human interaction. When you meet someone and you like that person, or you feel a little uneasy, or you feel warm, or you feel nervous, most of that is something you can't define.
Well, how do you feel with him? I mean, putting it right on the line.
With him, great. He is, in fact, one of the warmest, kindest, uncomplicated people as a conductor that I've ever met.
Is that rare in conductors, to be uncomplicated?
difficult to say. I think this generation is probably less complicated than previous generations.
Well, that's a great point. Yeah.
Of course, I don't know people like Toscanini, but you know, when you hear recordings of his rehearsals, I can't imagine being able to play two notes in a row after hearing a harangue like that. It's incredible, the screaming and the shouting, and I'm sure what he wanted was musically valuable, and the orchestra managed to produce fabulous stuff. How they did it, I don't know. I need to feel like people are friendly around me, you know? and certainly people like Andres Nelson's are, you know, so supportive.
Does the orchestra, so there could be, let's say, if you were to perform later in the season, there would be maybe a guest conductor. Is the Boston Symphony Orchestra different for you if someone else is conducting versus Andres, or is the orchestra still the entity that it is?
You know, that's, I think, actually, every single event, every single concert, is a slightly different experience. Mm-hmm. So even if I were playing, let's say, with Andres, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Symphony Hall, each night would feel different.
Interesting.
Slightly different communication, small things. You know, he might feel a little freer in a certain measure of the piece. I might want to wait somewhere a little more or go ahead a little more, or I might be looking at the flute instead of the oboe, just in terms of visual contact. My hands might be colder. I might be even more nervous on Friday than I was on Thursday. So all these things play into it. You know, you just don't know. You practice very, very, very hard, and you rehearse very hard, and then it's in the lap of the gods.
Well, now, Andres and I have something in common, Manny. We're both trumpet players. He's one of the best trumpet players in the world, and I'm probably the worst. So the question is, does his ability as a trumpet player affect his conducting?
Well, I think that any conductor who plays an instrument well has a head start on the process of conducting, because he or she will understand what it's like to sit and be guided by the baton. A young conductor who may never have played an instrument well or have played in an orchestra, that's probably a lack that they have to develop. Pianists very often have to develop that, because pianists who are fabulous musicians, some have never played in an orchestra, perhaps. So that connection, it hasn't happened, you know. And I think that's probably a process that's a head start for a trumpet player or a viola player, or, you know, if they've played in an orchestra. That's just my guess.
Pianist Manny Axe is with us. We are broadcasting live from Tanglewood. He will be performing tomorrow with the Boston Symphony Orchestra in their kickoff of the 2021 Tanglewood season. Andres Nelson conducting. Andres will be talking with Alan coming up in our 10 o'clock hour. It's an all Beethoven program. And you can find out more at tanglewood.org. You mentioned a moment ago about your hands getting cold. How much attention do you pay on the weather and say, I mean, we're sitting here, it's a very rainy day. Does that impact in an outdoor venue?
Yes, very, at least for me, very much. Yeah, if you go out and you face the black and white keys and your hands are really cold and really clammy because it's moist and cold, it's just very hard.
Mm.
So that certainly affects the way you play. It affects it physically, because sometimes you can't slide the same way. You have to lift your hand to get from one note to the next because of the wetness on the key. These are all things we try to learn to deal with. And
has anyone in all your years, has anyone ever come up to you and noticed that? Or is it just you that notices that, do you think?
Well, you mean noticed
meaning
from the result of the performance?
Yes, it may from the audience and saying, oh, it must have been cold.
I think my wife, well, first of all.
Well, your wife would, sure.
If I do this every time I stop playing, somebody will say it must have been cold.
Right, and you're rubbing your hands on your shoulder, yeah.
And I say, no, I'm just scratching my mosquito butt. But, so that's one thing. But people will probably notice that, you know, certain things don't go as easily as others. Mm. Yeah, sure.
Do you ever play with a wedding ring on? Or
no, you? No.
Do any pianists?
Yes, people do.
Okay.
Yeah,
but it's
just
not comfortable for you.
I just didn't. You know, it never occurred to me to wear it from the very beginning, and
yes.
I never have.
Mm.
Yeah, it's sitting at home comfortably.
I got a question. How do you learn all them notes?
Let's see. I usually take the sheet music, put it up, start looking, and start practicing. And if you practice, I'm someone who needs a lot of time to learn something. So I'm very slow. So by the time I practice it over and over and over, it usually sticks in my head.
Were you a smart student? In other words, could you remember the second verse of the Star Spangled Banner if you played it?
I can remember the first. I don't know that I've ever heard the second, to be quite honest.
Once the flag was still there, what do you do? What's after that?
Well, and now that all the singers stop at that high note, and you don't hear the rest of it because the crowd is cheering and play ball. You don't have to know the last words, so it's fine.
Well, that's interesting, that crowd cheering thing, because, as you know, being a Tanglewooder, you know that JT, James Taylor, comes on, and then he always sings that one line from Stockbridge to Boston.
Yes.
And then the crowd goes wild.
Right.
Do you have that in your repertoire, something that happens?
Not so much. I can't think of anything that would get really a cheer just from the theme. Maybe the Fifth Symphony of Beethoven, right, which is being done. If you hear da 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 da, somebody may say, "Have I got a headache for you?" Remember, that was I remember from my time, that was the old commercial.
Yes.
But other than that, I think not so much. No.
We just have about 2 minutes, but I don't want to underplay this. But you are doing Beethoven, and your connection and your affinity for Beethoven is really quite remarkable.
Well, there is no pianist who really goes through life without a deep connection to Beethoven. Beethoven, especially this year, you know, aside from the fact that it was his 250th birthday, which was
not bad.
which was unfortunately kind of minimized by the pandemic.
Sure.
The fact is that this is a man who lived in a personally dreadful life. You know, mm-hmm. A musician who loses his hearing. Mm. No romantic relationships, you know, bad family relationships, friendships that keep breaking off, and yet the music is more positive, more generous, more hopeful than any other composer.
The greatest of all time, do you think?
Oh, I wouldn't begin to say that.
Well, I would.
You go ahead. But
knock yourself out, Alan.
you've asked me this sort of thing before,
yes,
I think.
And
I keep saying, who was better, Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, or Joe DiMaggio?
Yes.
And you couldn't answer that. So let's
see. Babe Ruth.
I take it back. Anyway, I think the point is, if you want hope from music, you turn to Beethoven.
Mm, sure.
You know, the fact that the text of the Ninth Symphony includes "all men will be brothers," I think that's a clue to his music and his personality.
Emmanuel Ax will be performing with the Boston Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Shed, where Andras Nelson will be conducting an all-Beethoven program. I can't tell you what a delight it is to have you here and to be with
Thank
us.
You.
You are an absolute delight, and it's wonderful.
He is.
To be here. Thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing the roundtable all the time.
See you in the Guidos.
We very
absolutely. Absolutely.
See you in the Guidos. For more information on Tanglewood and tomorrow's performance with Manny Ax, go to tanglewood.org. You are listening to the roundtable's live broadcast from the press porch on WAMC.